Okay, hopefully, if you are looking for notes, they're in the back. You can go online and see some notes of today's message. And today's message is a heavy message. It's one that I wish I wouldn't have to speak about, but I do need to speak about it because this issue, of course, is in our world, and it's also addressed from the Word. And so in our series on Proverbs, we're coming along to a passage that deals with the issue of adultery. And so that's what we're focusing in on today. I know you're excited, but it is important for us to take a look at because this subject is, it's serious, it's sobering, and it's sensitive. And it is addressed in Scripture because, unfortunately, it is sometimes in our hearts, and the Lord has had to address it to us. We see even in the Ten Commandments what the Lord gave to Moses. We read about them first in Exodus chapter 20, that adultery has made the list of the top 10 sins. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And you read a little bit later in Leviticus, as we get more details during the time of the Old Testament, there was a very severe punishment for adultery. It was death. Those who were participating in that behavior, according to the Old Testament law, those folks were condemned to death. So the betrayal of trust in a marriage relationship is a sin that, of course, has deep and serious consequences. It is a sobering topic because of the devastation it leaves behind, like the aftermath of a tornado that rips through a community. So is adultery as the aftermath of what is left behind it. It's a sensitive topic because some, if not most, even in this room, have been affected by it personally in one degree or another. For instance, you know some of my story with my dad. This is something that he fell into, and I myself personally was affected by this, and it is, of course, sensitive. Also, for some of us, this is something that you've participated in or you've been affected by different ways. And so it's a sensitive topic as well. So because God knows what is in our hearts and he knows what is in the world, he, as a good father, and again in Scripture, and especially in the Proverbs, he addresses us as a father would. He seeks to warn us and protect us from falling into this trap that causes great pain and harm to ourselves and others. So let us be wise, let us be well warned, and let us listen to our Heavenly Father and learn to count the cost. Learn to recognize the trap. Learn to fortify our defenses so that we would be free from this confining life destroying trap, and be able to embrace the good life that God has designed for us of hope and a future. Please now open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6, and we are going to start with verse 20, and we're going to read the rest of chapter 6, and it continues in chapter 7. So there's lots of text that we're going to focus on this morning. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 6, starting with verse 20. And I'll have the verses in the NIV translation here. Lots of different translations, lots of great translations. So it should be similar to what you would have in front of you. So here is how this section opens. My son, my daughter, my child, keep your father's command, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, let them guide you. When you sleep, They will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp. And it is, this teaching is a light. And correction and instruction are the way to life. Keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman or man. Do not lust in your heart after their beauty, or let them captivate you with their eyes. So again, we see, as a good father, as a good mother would talk to their young child and say, "Will you please listen to me? Pay attention. Treasure what I have to say to you in your heart. If you do so, these things will help you. They will protect you. They will guide you." And we'll see this type of, and we have seen this type of calling to us in each and every one of these speeches or these sayings of the wise. As a good father, calling to us to listen, pay attention, treasure. Now you have to ask, why is that necessary? Well, the question is that we are prone to wander, right? We're prone to forget. We're prone, after a series of years or in various situations, we walk away, or we don't remember, or we don't pay attention. So the call is, and the prayer is, and during this series in particular, I have been praying for myself. We have been praying for everyone in this congregation, everyone listening to us online, that we would truly listen and live. We'd listen first and live afterwards. Now, we can learn the hard way and learn those lessons. But God and your parents, if you had good parents, and our Heavenly Father wants us to listen first and to live well. So all of these sayings give us advice, saying they will guard us, they will watch over us, they'll be a light to us, they'll be a lamp to us. They will help us in the way of life and be a companion to us each and every day. In this talk, in this chapter, he addresses the issue of adultery, or the wayward person, someone who is married to someone else, and the intrigue of connecting with that person outside of our marriage covenant. It happens. And the cost of adultery is severe. It is certain, and it is unceasing. So God's wisdom highlights to us the cost as a warning. So this is our first point. Number one, count the cost. Count the cost. So let's continue to read in verse 26 of chapter 6. It goes on saying, "Now don't lust after this person in your heart, and keep wisdom in your heart to guide you." And then it goes on in verse 26, "For a prostitute can be had, purchased for a loaf of bread, a payment of value. But another man's wife, another woman's husband, preys on your very life." So part of the cost of choosing to participate in what seems to be so right and so good, but ends up and deep pain and poison. It is severe. For instance, using an escort service or seeking a prostitute does have a cost to it. The cost is of money and a whole lot more. Now, in most places in our country, prostitution is not legalized, even though it happens in our very community. And I've been places around the world in which it is brazen and in your face. Well, it's in your faith as well. Actually, that is true. Okay, places like Amsterdam, where we got off the plane when I was in college on a missions trip. We had a layover for 6 to 8 hours. And so we decided to go into the city, and there it was, brazen in your face, and shops, and then billboards, and advertisements, and handouts to other places in which it is much more subtle. The word points to saying that if you participate with an escort service or with a prostitute, there is a cost to it. It will cost you money and a whole lot more. And I put in your notes other places in which the cost of that behavior is listed. And it goes on saying there's a certain cost to that. But there's a greater cost when you participate or have an affair with another married person. For that person prays or hunts, as it could be in the Hebrew, your, not just your money, but your very life. That person will take away what is most treasured and precious to you. You will lose some money, believe me, but you will also lose trust. Trust of your spouse. Trust of others. There's cost to relationships with your family, with your children. And I'm feeling myself getting emotional. Doing this probably out of my own experience with my dad, and also conversations I've had in my office where lots of tears. And the situations in which we had to break the news to somebody. Heartbreaking. We lose our honor in this compromise. Some people have lost their livelihood and their health, reputation, self-respect, self-esteem, lost sensitivity to God and to others. These things lead down a downward spiral. And as God in his wisdom says, the consequence for this behavior, it's severe. Continuing with verse 7, it continues to label some of the consequences. And this one, it is, the consequences are certain. In verse 27, ask the question, can a person scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Well, we know the obvious answer is, of course, you're going to get burned. Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? Well, it'll affect your feet for sure. So is he who sleeps with another's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. So the consequences of this behavior, even though it's advertised no consequences, the consequences is certain. No one will go, it says here, unpunished. There's no loopholes. Well, nobody will know, and there will be no consequences. There's no loopholes. As certain as embers in your lap will burn your clothes, or walking on fire will scorch your feet. This fiery passion will certainly burn you. No one involved in a fair goes unharmed. Now, the writer of this passage, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which is Solomon, continues with verse 30. Now, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it costs him all the wealth of his house. There are consequences for stealing. But a man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys themselves. It is a destruction that is brought upon yourself by yourself. Verse 33. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse a bribe, however great it is. And here we run into the third cost for this type of engagement. It is unceasing. Someone who does not have a spouse will pay a steep price for their indiscretion, surely. However, a person who has a spouse and then commits adultery, the word says, has no sense. They destroy themselves, setting their own house on fire. Pain and disgrace and shame will be theirs. Like there always will be an asterisk by their name when people tell the whole story of their lives, or they read about it, about them on Wikipedia. For instance, in Scripture, we see a man who was a man after God's own heart. Remember him? His name is David, whom I'm named after. Did amazing, powerful things in the name of the Lord. Is written most of the Psalms that we have. And from his line came Jesus, the Savior of the world. But David, this godly man, in a moment of weakness and indiscretion, being in a place where he should not have been, gave in to this. And when we tell David's story, and even if you read about it as some summations of his life, there's always this little asterisk saying, and there was the issue with Bathsheba. I think about people that have become well known to us. For instance, someone that at one time I looked up to, who was at a church not too far away from us. His name is Bill Hybels. Probably you've heard about him, written so many books, started a leadership conference that I've attended. Now you don't hear from him anymore, because it came to the surface that he participated in this type of behavior. And now even recently, in the news, a business person named Bill Gates is now in divorce because of this same type of behavior. And we'll read about Bill Hybels in Wikipedia, and we'll read about Bill Gates, and they'll list some of the positive accomplishments, and there'll always be this little asterisk. And this also happened. Those who have an affair have to deal with this and the consequences or the wrath of the offended spouse or whatever that will come. The cost is just not one time, but it is unceasing. God in his goodness warns us of this. The question is, in particular, of those of us, or those of you who are younger, I'm not putting myself in that category any longer. Pay attention. There's a quote that I really liked, and I heard it a long time ago, and it came to memory. This one right here. It says, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And cost you more than you want to pay. Powerful, insightful, helpful quote. Now the irony is the guy who wrote it. Ravi Zacharias. Those of you who don't know, was a world-renowned Christian apologetist. Oh, I didn't say that right. Gave defense of the faith, I'll just put it that way. Written many books, someone that I esteemed highly. Come out after his death, the litany of this type of behavior. It's ironic that this man who knew this, who wrote this, understood, take you farther, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. Who knew this was also caught in it. And what's also scary to me is that knowing this type of thing, knowing that there's a cost, will not necessarily be enough to keep you from this trap. So God goes on, and after telling us about the cost, says, now I want you to recognize the trap. And we'll see now as you turn the page to chapter 7, a continuation of this illustration of what is told to us and shows us how to recognize the trap, or gives us how I've labeled the title of this message, the anatomy of adultery. So let's continue to read. And again, it starts out in this way, as a father pleading to his son, now listen to me. Verse 1, my son, my daughter, again, keep my words, store up my commands within you. I'm going to help you. Keep my commands. You're going to live. Guard my teaching as the apple of your eye. Again, bind them on your finger so you will be reminded. Write them not just on a piece of paper or hung up on your mirror, but write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you're my sister. And to insight, you're my relative. They will keep you from the adulterous woman, man, from the wayward woman, man, and their seductive words. So God's word in our heart, to our hearts, it sustains us. The gospel glasses, so to speak, the way in which we view the world, and I hope you view the world through the lens of the gospel so that we can see clearly. It will help you to see the truth of what's in the world. The ring as a reminder on your finger, right? It's one of the reasons why we put these on, right? To remind us of the vows that I gave to my wife on that day. Put it on so I remember I vowed to her. And it also tells the world this one is taken, right? Thank you for that. And off limits. Remind yourself. Put it on your finger. Remember, the relationship, the Spirit of God is like a close sibling, a good friend, the best buddy. Oh, guard us and help us like Frodo and Samwise from the Lord of the Rings. To encourage us, to walk with us, help us. God offers us this thing. And so he now goes on, and I've labeled a couple of their characters in the story. We'll read the tale of Dr. Dimwit, who received his PhD in adultery, and Mrs. Marriage Breaker, who turns out to be, thank you, I'm glad you're laughing at that. It took me a little time to come up with these names. Mrs. Marriage Breaker, who turns out to be a very lovely landmine. Attractive, but once you step there, somebody's going to get hurt. And from their story, we will learn the ingredients of a, what I'm calling a corrosive cocktail. And these elements are found in all affairs. And I have an illustration that I hope will work, but we'll see at the end of this, okay? And so we're going to see six different things. And I've just said a corrosive cocktail, and I put it together. I am not a mix master, so this is going to be interesting. But I was talking to someone today, probably the one thing that you're going to remember is the illustration. So I've made a little illustration that'll hopefully help us to remember. Here are the elements in this corrosive cocktail. Okay, so he goes on and tells the story starting in verse 6 of chapter 7. Now at the window of my house, the man telling this story says, I looked down through the lattice, and I saw among the simple. Now I noticed among the young man, a youth who had no sense. He was going down the street near Burkhorn, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Every affair that I am aware of, there's what I'm calling the direction of desire. Just like this glass. There was a desire for something a little more, a thirst, so to speak. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Thirst traps that are out there. A desire. Now, this young man, Dr. Dimwit, instead of staying or returning home, instead of being where he should have been, intentionally stayed after work, intentionally strode over to that cubicle, intentionally walked down the road to the bar or whatever. Instead of walking away, knowing where that road would lead, there is an intentionality that took place, and here it is, one step at a time. One step. One little forgetting of the vows. One little flirtatious interaction. One other thing. Another thing. And there was just a hope that there might be an opportunity. So always there is a direction of a desire, wanting something more. Second ingredient is the openness of an opportunity. Proverbs chapter 10, and this is just like someone putting in the ice. Get it out of my Yeti cup here. Now, there's just an opportunity setting the stage. Verse 10, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute, with crafty intent. The difference between being attractive and being seductive. The difference. Crafty intent. Verse 11, she's unruly, defiant. Her feet never stay where they her commitment is, home. She's now in this place, in the street, now in the public square. At every corner, she lurks, this opportunity for adultery. True then, true today. She took hold of him and kissed him with a brazen faith. He said, the truth is, often when we are looking for trouble, trouble finds us. This is a true thing. I don't know how it works. I don't know if there's a homing beacon in our heart or someone is open and desiring of a little fling, a little excitement, a little whatever. Seems that as they're going to possibly open to this and walking in that way just to see what would happen, trouble comes and finds them. In this case now, here shows up a willing partner, someone who is looking and advertising for this very opportunity. Not a passive person, notice this, but someone on the hunt that they will often insert themselves and make the first move. This man is heading this opportunity. This woman sees him in this illustration, this story, and she comes up to him, took a hold of him, and kissed him. And notice these words. And there is always this element. It is the veneer of virtue. Check this out. Some of you got thirsty just by hearing that noise. That's why they do it on the commercials. 7-Up, the choice of champions. Yes, I'm going to drink some on Thursday. Don't we all get some? No, you don't. Sorry. Now, check this out. And I've seen this. There's a veneer of virtue. You guys understand what a veneer is, right? A covering over something else to make it look better than it is. Often, the cheaper countertops have a veneer over it, particle board underneath, but something on top that makes it look oh so good. But underneath, doesn't look so good. There's always a veneer of virtue, okay? So this is what she said in verse 14. Today, I fulfilled my vows. And I have food from my fellowship offerings at home. So people in affairs, often there's a veneer of virtue. Sometimes they're even really consistent churchgoers. She's saying, hey, I just got done with the church service, and I have leftovers in my fridge from the potluck afterwards, right? And so the person thinks, well, this person isn't so bad, right? In some ways, they're virtuous. They're a good citizen, or they're a church attender, or they participate in civic organizations. Right? Today I fulfilled my vows. Like, this is a virtuous person, right? I've gone to church. I contributed to the offering plate. I fulfilled my word. And I have food, again, from the potluck in my fridge at home. I have hamburgers from the community outreach that are ready in the fridge. It's enticing. This isn't a bad person. This is part of the trap, by the way. Okay? Desire, opportunity, and then just a veneer of virtue. Oh, this person's great. Oh, look at all the good they do. They're so involved in so many things. That's a part of this corrosive cocktail. And then this one's really bad. It's the seduction of selection. You're special. Verse 15. So I came out to meet you and only you. I've been looking for you. And I have found you. This is the alcohol. Alcohol. And by the way, this isn't alcohol. But it looks like. You notice this, and I see this all the time. People believe that they're special. They're paying attention to me. They are just looking for me. They have found me. That's a powerful poison. Preys on people who feel perhaps neglected or alone or who are lonely. And the special attention is intoxicating. They think I'm beautiful. They remember me. They are looking for me. They desire me. Are you hearing this? Every fair that I know of, I've seen from the outside, I've heard stories. It's always there, right? This seduction of selection, and God knows this and says, hey, this is how it works. I found you, I was looking for you, so happy to see you. And then combined with that now is the promise of pleasure. And so this lady says, hey, I have this opportunity. I'm going to pour in some other specialties that you will just like. I've covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh. Aloes and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love until morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. This is a person who is ready, willing, and able. They have prepared, they have prepped. And it is so enticing. They have the perfect place. A place or a palace of pleasure. Ready for a long, deep drink. Enticing. Intoxicating. And corrosive. But in case you are thinking that you may be caught, and this element is always here as well, there is this now poured in, the freedom of fear. And you'll read this on that from this lady, and I've signified by a little umbrella, right? It'll be okay. My husband, verse 19, not at all. He's calling, though. I will not pick it up. He's gone on a long journey. Out of town on business. Got a lot of money with him. Took his wallet, his purse filled with money. Not going to be home until full moon. He won't be home for at least a week. The coast is clear. No one. It's going to be great. I've seen it. Seen it. God's word illustrates it. It's all set up. People drink it. And it tastes so good. But inside of it is poison. It will hurt you. Take it. Don't do it. Verse 21, with persuasive words. How it works. He led him astray. He seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once. He followed her. Like an ox going to the slaughter. Like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. Like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. It tastes good. It's so good. It's smooth. But it's poisonous and it will destroy you. Like an animal being hit by a vehicle. In the state of Illinois, by the way, every year the DNR tells us about 17,000 deer are killed by being hit by cars. You know when the high time for this to occur is? Thank you. Mating season. This is when the deer have only one thing on their mind. And when they have a one-track mind, they do not see what they would see at other times. Right? And they get destroyed because of their desire. Same is true of people caught in these type of things, like a deer focused on that thing. I want it. I need it. Giving no thought to the semi-truck that is coming. When they make that leap, will be the last. And there will be severe consequences. Verse 24, now then, my sons, my daughters, you hear this again. You hear God's heart in this. Listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Don't let your heart burn. Let your heart turn. Let your heart turn. To her ways or stray into her path. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house, the highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. You think it's higher heights, but it's greater depth. So the conclusion of this section is to listen to wisdom. Follow it. Don't follow the way of adultery. Mrs. Marriage Breaker is a killer. Serial killer. Who has slain millions. The internet has made our hookup culture really, what's the word? Convenient? I checked this week. There is a website called Ashley Madison. This is a website, and there's many like it. Okay? I'm not advertising this, by the way. They're like, thank you for that. I'm just telling you as an illustration. So this is what they promise. And by the way, their tagline is this: life is short, have an affair. That's their tagline. And people can log in. The guys put their credit card information. The woman apparently get to participate for free. And it's not just some obscure site. As of this last week, there's 60 million subscribers worldwide. I read that number, I'm like, are you kidding me? 60 million? And this is even after, and 2015, a hacker took all of the private information, perhaps you remember this, okay, and threatened the company that they'll expose the individuals if they didn't pay some massive amount of money. The hackers ended up revealing the names, and at that time there was 57 million people. It's grown since then, which seems crazy to me. And on that list were famous politicians. On that list were well-known pastors. And some whose information came to the surface ended up literally taking their own life. So if we think that this is something out there, it's happening. God helps us and says, beware. And thirdly and lastly, and we're going to go into communion in just a couple of minutes. Fortify the defenses. This is just some pastoral biblical advice. I'm going to do this quickly. Fortify the defenses. You can walk into this. Anybody can walk into this. And I'd say these things with a broken heart. Number one, we saw this from the word, treasure wisdom. And wisdom will treasure you. You see this, God's word will help you. Help you. Help you. I read the word daily, and I've been doing this for 30 years. I do it not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a human. Because I'm a man, I need to be remembered. Not preparing for the next sermon. And God, will you speak to me? treasure wisdom, and wisdom will treasure you. Guard wisdom, and wisdom will guard you. Hang on to the Word, and the Word will hang on to you. Listen. Live. Second, we see this from the Word, guard your heart, right? Take stock of what's happening in your heart. Keep tabs of what's going on there. We are prone to wander. Pay attention. Stay clear, guard what's happening here in our love for the Lord, in our love, if you're married, for your spouse. What's happening? Thirdly, stay clear of the person. Seems obvious, but people don't do it. Don't walk in their direction. Don't meet them down at the bar. Don't follow them into compromise. It seems obvious, but it needs to be stated. Next, rekindle your love. These are really quick, and I know, and all of these could be their own sermon. I understand that. Rekindle your love with your spouse. You're married, right? If you're struggling in your marriage, there are steps that you can take that will help you. Keep the home fires burning, so to speak. Things like remembering, this, I take this from Revelation chapter 2, 5, remembering for where it once was. This had a conversation with a couple just this 2 weeks ago about this. Remembering when you were first married, what it was like. Told them to read their love letters to one another, and they did. And guess what? Return some of their feelings. Remember, repent from the heights you have fallen, return, do the things you did at first. Context, it's Christ talking to a church, and I understand that. There's also applicable about renewing our love for one another in a marital relationship. Remember, repent, return. There's help there. Lastly, walk the road of redemption. And there are some who have walked down this road and drinking this cocktail, even here in this place. What about me, Pastor? And I don't need to tell you about the cost. I don't. You know it. And there will be a cost. But we do have a Redeemer. Changes us, turn and follow after him like the prodigal had to pay a price. He paid a price. But there was a, when he came to his senses, there was a return. And there was a restoration, even though there were scars that lasted forever. God calls to us in that way. And it struck me, I'm going to add this, not in the notes. Last night when I was trying to get my legs to feel again, so we just did a Tough Mudder yesterday. Like, wow, you're walking like an older person. You know why? Because I am an older person, okay? I was sitting there praying about the message, and it occurred to me that all of our marriages are temporary, save one. The eternal one is between Christ and his church. Even if you're married for 70 years, someday death will do you part. And our marriages are a reflection of Christ and the church. You read this in Ephesians chapter 5. And we walk as an example in that context of wanting to be faithful as Christ is faithful. And this is one of the reasons why it's so grievous to God's heart. Because it's breaking a covenant we make with our spouse. But it also mars the image of the faithful one who is bride called the church. And so it's serious, it's heavy, but it's wise. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then Bob Carlson is going to lead us in communion as we renew our commitment to our Lord. So let's pray. God, thank you for so much. This today, indeed, is a sobering message. Heavy. For some of us, it's pretty sensitive. I thank you for the wonderful men and women who are here in this place, listening online, God, giving themselves to gathering together. So grateful for your work among us. God, and we're so grateful that you love us so much, that you tell us the truth. You warn us, you call us, you equip us, and you love us. But God, we pray for our world, Lord, that this type of thing is just rampant. We pray for the tornado of destruction that has wreaked havoc in people's lives. Kids have been really hurt. The spouses have been so hurt. So much pain, God. God, we ask for restoration. God, we ask for mercy. We shed tears because your heart hurts as well. I know it does. God, I ask for hope for the hurting, God, healing for the hurting. I ask for repentance, God. I ask for reconciliation. We ask for help, God, and you, not far from any one of us. We thank you that your Spirit's here with that. Your Spirit helps us and changes our heart and brings healing. God, I ask for help. We ask for mercy for my friends in this building. For a world who have bought into this lie that the grass is so much better on the other side. And drink the poison that they taste so good initially. Kills us. Hardens us. Corrupts us. God, have mercy on us. Pray for marriages, God, help them to be strong. Help us to remember the day when we said, I do, and the feelings in our heart and all the good times. Pray for every marriage in this place, every marriage of people listening online, God. Ask your blessing upon the marriages. And God, help us to see, help us to have wisdom, help us to cherish your word. Help us to see the elements. God, help us to know and to walk the other way. Thank you that you give us your Spirit to walk alongside of us. As a friend, the best friend. Thank you for that companionship as well. May you be honored in all ways and in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.